This is an intro. Intro, intro, intro.
Hustle and Flowchart with your boy,
my boy,
Matt Wolf and Joe Fit.
Hey.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. This is Joe Fear.
I'm Matt Wolf.
That's my boy over there, Mr. Matt Wolf. And we're with
evergreenprofits.com.
You probably knew that. But so on these podcasts, as you're listening to these, you're going to see a theme. So hopefully this isn't your first time, but if it's your first episode, welcome. Glad to have you. So it's our job on these podcasts to show you that there's a completely different way of working and living, that this whole system, like the stuff that we feel like is normal way to live, work and all that stuff, go do a day job, or maybe if you're an entrepreneur, it's do all the work and hustle, 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 grind, grind, grind. There's a better way. Mm-hmm. And that's the point of our podcast and everything we put out at evergreenprofits.com is to show you that you can think differently. You can apply yourself in different ways day to day and leverage yourself differently, leverage other people, systems, automations, all that stuff to live this big, better life that you always dreamed of that you want to take yourself to. So that's the point of these podcasts where we deconstruct all that stuff with guests. But this time, I'm going to deconstruct. This sounds weird. I'm going to deconstruct Matt.
I'm not deconstructing me.
No.
We're going to talk about some traffic stuff.
Yeah. So we have this pretty badass system, which by the way, before you know, we dig into this, evergreenprofits.com, that's the hub of everything we do. If you want to get in touch with us there, just click one of the links on top. You'll be able to find us, no problem. We always like to chat with you, get some ideas, bounce some ideas around. If you want to go deeper with us, that's where you find us. But yes, on this podcast, we're going to dig into something that we typically reserve for our advisory, our partners, our high-level clients. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to go into details because that's obviously a disservice to those folks who have paid us quite a bit of money for that. But we're going to give you the overview, and Matt's going to dig into some of the details in that regard because Matt's kind of our in-house strategist. Well, we both are, but he
when it comes to traffic, yeah,
traffic man. And then he does all the training and really dives deep on this stuff for all of our clients. So in this episode, I'm basically going to put myself in the shoes of our clients and partners. So when we're teaching this, I'm going to ask the questions to Matt, and Matt's going to basically answer. And so it's going to be kind of like a role-playing type thing here. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a little different.
We're going to do some role-playing together.
Matt, you're freaking sick.
Mm-hmm. You said it.
Actually, I'm a little sick right now, so I might sound a little hoarse. So Matt, yeah, carry on. I've talked too much already.
All right, so here's what I'll do. Let's just kick it off this way. I'll give just sort of the grand overview of the strategy, and then we'll start digging in, and you play the voice of the audience and sort of dive deeper. So the grand overview of the entire traffic strategy that we use, We do a combination of content marketing, SEO, Google Ads, and Facebook Ads.
So before you go deeper on that,
mm-hmm.
why do we do this?
To drive traffic.
There's some byproducts in there, I know. Whoa, what else can I get from traffic, Matt, if I plan to be role-playing? So why do I want more traffic?
All right, so we do this because we're driving traffic into our, we're driving traffic to our content, and then people who view our content, we're actually, you know, they're starting to see us as a bigger brand, they're starting to see that we're experts on the topic that we're talking about, and then, of course, we're eventually trying to sell them stuff,
yeah.
Right? So in our case, Evergreen Profits, we're driving traffic back to our blog, using these systems, and ideally people are clicking on the consulting box and signing up with us for consulting, or they're clicking on an affiliate link somewhere in our blog. Most of our income comes from either consulting or selling products as affiliates. So the reason we're driving traffic into our business is to get those consulting applications filled out and to get sales of affiliate products. You know, everybody's business is a little bit different for what sort of KPIs they're going after. Some people might just be looking for phone calls, like phone leads into their business. Some people might want traffic back to their blog because they have advertising and their business, you know, rotates around getting advertising dollars, and the advertising dollars are driven by the amount of page views. So that might be a KPI for somebody, is they need the page views for advertising dollars. Maybe you're trying to grow your list because you sell a lot of stuff to your list. Mm-hmm. You know, the business purpose of driving traffic is going to be different for every business. For us specifically, it's consulting leads and getting affiliate products. For some of our more niche sites, we have a business that teaches you how to get better sleep at night. For that site, it's driving traffic to sell a course on how to get better sleep at night. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. It's good. So if I were a client, and I'll specify this because it's not always just me asking this question, obviously. If I were a client that I don't have a massive marketing budget, but I feel like I'm in a space that's pretty damn competitive. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm not a commodity, but maybe I am a little bit. So I'm in the real estate space. I'm a dentist or someone that like I want to stand out from the crowd. How do I do that?
Okay. So basically the strategy that we're talking about, and now I kind of see where you were trying to lead me with your previous question. So yes, we drive a lot of traffic using Google ads and content and Facebook ads and that whole mix of things. But the byproduct of it is that we blow you up and sort of make you famous. We make you a bigger brand. Yeah. We make you seen everywhere. Our goal, if we're working with a client, is whatever niche you're in, we want you to be the biggest celebrity in that niche.
Ooh, I like that.
We want you to be the most famous person in that niche. So if you're, for example, a mortgage broker and you're kind of a commodity business, there's a lot of mortgage brokers out there. Well, the big idea here is if you want to make a lot more money than the other mortgage brokers in a commodity market, you need to become the most famous mortgage broker. You need to be the one that's speaking on stages, that has the book published about mortgages, that is being featured on other people's podcasts. You want to be the celebrity in that niche, no matter how grand or mundane that niche is.
Yeah.
If you can become that celebrity and you are the top of mind person that people think about in that market, you're gonna be able to charge more, and it's gonna be a lot more effortless to make sales.
Got it. So that's cool because I know, so everything I've done, again, I'm role playing here. Everything I do is I'm paying for traffic. I feel like I'm scared of things like Google because I think like, I don't know, it's going to be like $30 a click or something like that. And I don't know how the hell I can find people on Facebook who are relevant to what I'm trying to sell to them. So how would I stand out, in those areas there?
Yeah, you're really, really good at leading me to the exact answers that you're looking for.
I'm leading you.
I know. With Google, first of all, a lot of people have this perception that Google is really, really expensive. Everybody seems to be going Facebook ads. That's where all the money's at. Go advertise on Facebook ads. Our experience is that we actually get way cheaper clicks, way cheaper traffic, way more targeted traffic from Google, not from Facebook. In fact, our philosophy on Facebook is that it should be purely a retargeting play. We rarely drive cold traffic from Facebook. We focus on once you've been to our site once you've discovered our brand, then you start seeing us on Facebook. So with Google, depending on the market you're in, different markets, you're going to have different cost per click, depending on how much competition's in that market. However, if you're going after long tail keywords, so for example, if you're just trying to, let's say we've got our product on how to get better sleep. Let's just say we're going after the keyword sleep or better sleep, right? That is not a long tail keyword. That's a very broad keyword that probably has a ton of people advertising on it, and our cost per clicks are going to go through the roof because there's a lot of people trying to gather that keyword. However, a long tail keyword would be something like, does my mattress affect how much sleep I get at night, right? Mm-hmm. That's a long tail keyword. And one thing you have to consider is with things like Alexa and Siri and whatever Google's thing is called, Cortana or whatever, a lot of people are using voice search now. So people aren't just like, you wouldn't go to Alexa and be like, hey, Alexa, sleep. Right? Like Alexa's not going to go Google sleep for you or know what to find on that. But if you go to Alexa and say, hey, Alexa, what's some tips to get better sleep? Alexa will be, let me Google that for you, right? So a lot more people are using voice search. So if you kind of think of what people would search for with their voice and think along those lines and use those keywords to get people into Google, you're going to get a lot cheaper clicks because a lot of people aren't going after those long tail.
Right.
But you're also like vetting out people that specifically have the problem that your product solves.
So you're basically trying to find these hidden gems, it seems like, that most people, like the big brands and people who have budgets, who are willing to burn their cash a little bit, will go after these one or two word keywords that are more obvious.
Yeah.
And then like the smarter approach, like you're saying, it sounds like is you use strategic tools and methods and all this stuff that we do to, or that you do, we do, and actually source what these gaps in the market are for search terms. So you said this whole thing about retargeting. Does that mean I can be seen everywhere to the right people? I'm guiding you again.
Yeah. So let me kind of go back to, like, let me give you this the grand overview real quick here. So here's how the strategy works. We lead with content, right? We'll create a piece of content. So the example I just gave is like, does my mattress help me get better sleep at night, right? What I would do is I would create a blog post about, you know, what your mattress means for your sleep, right? I would make a blog post about that. I would think of a handful of keywords, maybe 10 keywords, long tail keywords that blog post is, a good answer for, right? So I would try to think a bunch of keywords. And then when people search any of those potential keywords, then this blog post shows up as the ad. So we're advertising to a blog post. We're really not even asking for the sale.
So it's content. That's all.
Yeah, we're just sending them to content that answers their question. And then once they've viewed that content, that's basically them raising their hand and saying, I've got this problem that I need to solve. If somebody's searching for something about, like, how do I get better sleep at night? Well, if they did that search, they're raising their hand saying, I'm having sleep issues, I need a solution.
Right.
So that's what that initial piece of content does, is it's getting people to raise their hand and say, I have this problem.
They're like self-selecting, basically.
They're self-selecting. They're saying, I've got the problem that your product solves. And once they've read your blog post, then we've essentially confirmed that they have that problem. And now we're going to retarget them. They're going to see our ads on Facebook. They're going to see our ads on Google's display network, right? They're going to start seeing our ads all over the place because they viewed a piece of content, self-selecting, raising their hand, saying, I have this problem. Now we're going to hit them in all the other avenues that you can you can target them with. And to answer your question, yes, it makes it look like you're seen everywhere to the one person that read your blog post. Yeah. Once they've read your blog post, now all of a sudden, man, every time I go to a blog, I'm seeing a banner ad for these guys. Now every time on Facebook, I see their ad as I scroll through my newsfeed. When I pull out my phone, I'm seeing their ad. When I go to Instagram, you know, since Instagram is fed through Facebook advertising, when I go to Instagram, I'm seeing their ad on Instagram. To the few people that read your article, it all of a sudden looks like you're everywhere to those people.
And is this expensive, this whole thing?
No. Because first of all, in Google, you're going after long tail keywords, right? So those are really cheap per click. I mean, we pay, I think our average cost per click from Google is about 50 cents per click. And this is across multiple niches. All right. So it's fairly cheap per click. And with your retargeting ads tend to be a little bit more expensive per click. You might pay, you know, maybe $2 a click on like a high end, maybe even a little bit higher. But these are the people that have super qualified themselves. They read your blog post. They basically said, I had this problem. Then they saw your ad that basically puts a solution to their problem in front of them. These are hyper qualified people. So it's okay to pay a few bucks more per click.
Yeah.
So for example, let's say our sleep product is $47, $49, around $50, right? So our sleep product's around $50. And let's say on Google Ads, I'm paying 50 cents per click. And let's say in a day, I get 20 clicks on that, right? I spent $2 on Google Ads,
right?
And now those people are seeing my retargeting ads. So I've got 20 people now seeing my retargeting ads. Let's say out of those 20 people, one of them clicks through and buys, right? Hmm. That one person cost me, you know, another $2.50 on Facebook, let's call it. So I've essentially spent 50 cents on that Google ad on that person, and I spent another $2.50 to retarget them and get them back to my site.
Right.
I'm all in at $3 for this $47 sale.
For that one sale, yeah.
Right. And let's say all in, it's costing me $20 per sale.
Roughly.
You can't look at your advertising as this expense plus this expense led to this sale. You need to look in aggregate. So you and I, Joe, we only look at our ad spend on a monthly basis.
Right.
So after 30 days, we'll go back and say, how much did we spend on Google ads? How much did we spend on Facebook ads? Okay, all in, we spent $200 on this offer. All right, how many sales did we make this month? Oh, we made $500 worth of sales, right? So 200 all in on all of our advertising, 500 out.
That's a win.
Right? That's a win. So we're just looking at it in aggregate, looking at the entire package to drive. We're not individual. You'll drive yourself nuts if you're looking at ad costs on a daily basis and sales on a daily basis. Look at the end of the month, combine your Google, your Facebook ad spend, look at how much the resulting revenue was. That's how you find out whether you're on track or not.
So this makes me, because I've done some research in 80-20. You know, I've read the 80-20 books. I studied Perry Marshall. I listened to Marx's episode. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to, as like a listener, a client still. Uh-huh. which, by the way, if you haven't listened to Marx's episode, he went live, I think, last month or so, whenever this thing goes live.
Yeah.
One of the best episodes, or the best episodes, the most actionable ones you could take, other than this one. This one's really good, too. Sorry, Marx. this is very actionable, too. But 80-20, it seems like people are self-selecting themselves. Mm-hmm. Well, you said that. Mm-hmm. But would this make me easier to close deals? Like, it sounds like, yeah, if we have a sales page, it will bring the right people to me. Is this going to give me a better chance to close people on the phone or a lead coming into my office?
Whatever? Yeah, I mean, any of that, because this initial piece of content, by people just reading this initial piece of content, they're saying that I have the problem that you solve. Ideally, if you match up the questions that you think people are going to search for and the content, you've done a few things, right? You've gotten people to A, raise their hand and say, look, I've got this problem, but B, you've put a piece of content in front of them. So now they automatically see you as the expert in this niche, right? They've just read your blog post. Going back to the mortgage broker example, how many mortgage brokers even have blogs in the first place where they're teaching about mortgages? Probably not many, right? So if you're the one that when they did this search about mortgages, your blog post, your content showed up. Now they see you as the expert in their mind because they just read content from you. You are now their expert.
That's what's kind of cool. It's like you could be like a freaking plumber. It could be the most commoditized business in the world.
Yep. And then when they start seeing your offers on Facebook and the Google Display Network, now all of a sudden, A, you're not only an expert, but B, this guy must have a massive advertising budget. I'm seeing him fucking everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a very good point. So it seems like, you know, and this is just smart business, you got to know your customer value, your like lifetime value, mm-hmm. or you can maybe do a yearly value.
Yeah.
So we can then extract and see, okay, does this thing make sense to me? More cases than not, it seems like it's a no-brainer mm-hmm. for any business to do it.
Yep.
Because you look at your cost to what's your close value and or your, you know, your yearly value or lifetime value, and then, you know, work the numbers from there.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. And then another quick point to touch on too is just SEO. Now, I did mention that it's kind of a combination of content, SEO, Facebook ads, Google ads, right? Now, I just want to state that SEO is kind of a byproduct. Like, we basically put almost no focus into SEO, but because we're going after these specific long tail keywords and because we're driving Google ads and Google seeing that we're pushing traffic to it, SEO just kind of happens as a byproduct. If you're putting out good content, you're targeting these keywords that you kind of found would be good keywords around this product, and you use a tool like Yoast SEO, which is a free WordPress plugin that helps with some internal SEO, you do that handful of things and the SEO just happens. I mean, we put very little focus on SEO. We're not out there like emailing people, trying to get backlinks. We're not buying backlinks from anywhere. We're just focused on putting out really good content, making sure it's optimized with that Yoast SEO WordPress plugin, and the act of just driving Google ads to it, Google shows Google that you're serious about getting traffic on this content. And I believe, I mean, I don't know the inner workings of Google algorithm, but if you're putting out a piece of content and you're spending money to drive traffic to it, I think Google is going to help you a little bit with SEO over the long term as well, because they're seeing traffic come in from Google.
Well, I know that one thing is, you know, the thing that's pretty public about Google algorithm is, okay, if people are interacting with your content and sticking around on your website and they're actually engaging, then they're probably going to show you to more people if you do the work and you're not scammy or replicating content and all that
stuff.
And I
mean, Google also knows if people come back to your site too, right? So Google knows, so there's what's called sessions, right? Mm-hmm. If you're looking in Google Analytics, there's what's called sessions, which is one person coming to your site. They may view like four pages, but that's just one session, right? And then you can also look in Google to see unique visitors and returning visitors, right? So Google knows if people come back to your site as well. And, you know, I have a sneaking suspicion that that's factored into their algorithm a little bit. If somebody comes to your site once and then comes back again, well, they must have found something valuable at your site, right?
Yeah.
So I have a sneaking suspicion that that's part of Google's algorithm. And by its nature, what we're doing here is we're bringing people to the site once, then retargeting them and bringing them back a second time. So Google's seeing that you're bringing back people multiple times to your site. Once they've viewed it once through Google and then they come back organically from some other resource, you know, Google's seeing that.
Yeah.
So that's probably all factoring into the SEO. So the SEO is kind of a byproduct. But the interesting thing is we drive a lot of traffic with Google ads, a lot of traffic with Facebook ads, Display Network ads. We drive a lot of traffic with that. But right now, as of today, our number one traffic source is SEO. Mm-hmm. But it's just been this like accumulation of doing this over and over and over again. And now all of our our shit ranks so easily.
And that's the cool thing with organic traffic is that, this is me going to Joe mode now, is that with organic traffic, you get all this free traffic now, free eyeballs. And maybe the return, but a lot of them won't be. They're going to be new people. The beauty is that they're all getting pixeled in. And now they are getting retargeted with all of the content and getting followed around the web, mm-hmm. just as they were if we were to pay for that traffic initially off the first touch.
Yeah, exactly. And
that's what's super cool is this, like, this machine kind of compounds if you think about, like, financial terms. Mm-hmm. Your efforts, you're putting in the most amount of efforts from day one.
Yeah.
But, like, the more effort you put in there, the ads you're putting, the content you're creating, and this doesn't even, like, it doesn't even mean that you need to crank a ton of content out.
No.
But, like, your results just completely compound. They do this hockey stick thing. It's not a linear path.
And I think what you'll find, too, is that you'll have, like, maybe two or three pieces of content over time, that these two or three pieces of content are what moves the needle.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you might have to crank out 10, 20 articles, you know, hire writers or whatever, crank out a bunch of articles to figure out which articles are the major winners that drive the most people to your offer.
Yeah.
But I think over time, what you'll find out is you're going to 80-20 it. You're going to find two or three articles that these are our winners. These are the ones that once people read them, they're coming back, clicking on our ads, buying our stuff. And another thing too, I just want to touch on this real quick. When it comes to Facebook ads, right? One of the things I don't like about Facebook ads when you're driving cold traffic is what Facebook calls frequency, right? That's basically how many times your ad has been seen by an individual person.
Right.
When you first turn on an ad, your frequency is zero. Nobody's seen it yet. Once you've run it for like a week, your frequency might go up to one, meaning the people that are in your target market have seen it on average one time. If you've been running an ad for, say, 2 years, your frequency might jump up to like 20, right?
Yeah.
Like each individual person in your market may have seen it up to 20 times, right? Now, the model that we're talking about, since we do purely retargeting and we're driving people initially in through Google search traffic, our frequency on our retargeting ads always stays low because we're constantly refreshing the people that are seeing it. Mm. Every week, there's like new people seeing our retargeting ads. It's not like one person has been seeing our ad for 3 years because we only have a 30-day window that they're going to see our retargeting. So after 30 days, if they don't come back to our site, the retargeting stops. So we're constantly refreshing our audience by driving new Google traffic in, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So it kind of expires at a point because it's less relevant if they haven't taken an action yet with us.
So if you're using pure retargeting, the frequency of your Facebook ads becomes less of an issue.
Yeah.
You're kind of always getting fresh eyeballs on it based on who's searching in Google.
Hmm. And that's why it sounds like you don't have to create new ads all the time. You kind of like it's not a set and forget, but the management of it doesn't seem like it's overwhelming.
Yeah. I mean, for us, for some of our ads, for some of the products we're promoting right now, we've literally been running the same ad for 2.5 years without touching them, and mm-hmm. they're still working.
So if I were to do this myself, what's kind of like what's involved, I guess? You know, what are the moving pieces that I would need to kind of hammer out?
Okay, so the first thing you need to do is whatever your problem solves, what questions would people be asking that your solution is the answer for?
Hmm.
Right? So if let's go back to the sleep thing. What would people search for if they're having trouble sleeping at night? Can't fall asleep.
Beds.
How do I fall asleep?
Yeah.
What sort of bed is going to be the most comfortable to fall asleep? You know, think of as many things as you can to figure out what people would search for that you have the solution for, right? So you do that search first and kind of do that. We use a tool called Ahrefs. It's an SEO tool and it tells us like the how many searches per month a specific keyword does. So we'll come up with like 20 ideas. We'll plug them all into Ahrefs, figure out which ones are going to get us the most traffic, and we start there. Then we go and we hire writers and we get writers on the top, you know, 5 to 10 keywords that we want to go after. We'll get them to write it. We'll put those on our blog, and then we'll start driving Google traffic into those various blog posts based on the keywords that we created.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go and set up Facebook retargeting ads to your actual offer page based on who's viewed that content, and you set up Google Display Network retargeting to people who have viewed that content.
Got it. And then the management of it is just to kind of make sure, you know, you're not, I guess, blowing your budget, right?
Yeah.
So making sure you're kind of keeping your numbers. I guess, what's a good way to figure out your target number, like how much I should be spending for ads? I'm sure it depends on...
I mean, really, like, what you got to watch is you just got to kind of watch on, you know, a weekly, every other week, monthly basis, and just kind of watch how much you're spending, how much you're making off that ad spend.
Keep it
and
simple.
Just, you know, make sure that you stay profitable. And to be honest, the first, you know, the first 2 weeks to a month that you do it, you may not be profitable while you're searching. You might have to, you know, take a little bit of a loss while you're figuring out what keywords hit, what content hits, while you're optimizing your offer page, things like that. You may take a hit in the first month during a learning phase, and you just got to chalk that up to I'm investing in the education of what's going to work. So, you know, there is that element to it. Now, one of the things that you do optimize is inside of Google Ads, you'll start to get an idea of like what keywords work and which ones don't. You might find that you log in and holy crap, this one keyword for whatever reason is costing me $10 a click and that's just not profitable for me. Yeah, you can turn that keyword off and make it a negative keyword, meaning that it won't show anymore that when people search that specific keyword. So you optimize by making some keywords that pop up negative. Now there's a lot more to it and I could probably talk about just how to set up Google Ads for a whole hour like podcast. Yeah, I mean, that's how you optimize. You find the keywords that you need to make negative keywords and make sure that your ads stop showing up for those ones.
That makes sense. Okay. So, I mean, this is really good for, I mean, it seems like good for people who don't have a big budget, but also companies who have a lot of assets out there, who have a bigger, you know, budget to play with, but want to get their branding to the right people, get more leads. I mean, there's a lot of cool.
Yeah. I mean, it works with a little budget too. I mean, you can set this up, and I would say the minimum you want to set your budget at is like $20 a day would probably be bare minimum.
Yeah.
And then as it starts to work, you scale up. Next thing you know, you might be spending a grand a day, but hey, if you're making $2,000 a day, who gives a shit, right?
It seems like a good test. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it works for really, really big budgets, probably the best. But if you have a small budget, you can definitely make this work as well.
Well, you could probably test faster with a bigger budget.
Exactly.
Even if you have a small budget, like, okay, well, let's throw a lot at it for like a couple weeks, I guess, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Sweet. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. It seems pretty... my question is, why are more people not doing this type of strategy?
I don't think people think... I think a lot of people are scared to spend ad budget in multiple spots to make one sale.
Right.
Right? Like, you've got to spend some money on Google Ads, and then you need to retarget those same people with more ads to make the sale. So there's multiple touch points to make the sale. And I think so many people out there, their mindset is like, I want to make that sale on that first touch. I want to... Yeah. So they're out there, they're running Google Ads to webinars and then trying to pitch them on the webinar the very first day you just met them. Right? Our approach is, you know, we still sell quickly. It's still like a 3 to 4 day sales window typically, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like we got to run Google Ads to get them to raise their hand. And then once they've said they're interested, then we run retargeting ads. And then those retargeting ads are what close the sale for us.
Yeah.
Right. And I think so many people just, they want that quick gratification of, I spend money on an ad today. It cost me $10. I get $20 out. And they want that immediate direct sale from the ad right away. And I think a lot of people are afraid to sort of explore models like this because they're afraid to, okay, I'm spending $30 today to make $60 a week from now.
Right. That makes sense. Or maybe it could be complicated to some people or sound kind of overwhelming.
Yeah.
Which it can be, I guess, if that's the kind of mindset going into it. But really, the way you're describing it is, okay, well, yeah, you have to, there's a setup phase.
Yeah.
There's the setup and you have to follow this system to do the setup. And it's not that techie. It's literally placing pixels and doing these, you know, creating some initial ads to test, which I know, you know, Matt has already mapped out.
Yeah.
So that's actually a no-brainer. But after that, it's really, because it seems like that's all the connection phase. That's how you connect these different platforms and then you kickstart traffic.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, it's not really set and forget.
No.
But you do probably need to invest maybe 2 hours on the front end to build everything out, get your pixels installed. You'll have to get some content written. So there might be a couple days going back and forth with some writers to get some content written, or you write it yourself if you've got the time. There is a little bit of that sort of techie setup where if you're brand new to a lot of the like pixel type stuff, it might take you a couple hours. If you had done it a million times before, it might take you 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I've gotten it down to where I can install pixels and have one of these systems set up in under an hour. Mm-hmm. But for, I think most people, you probably want to devote a couple hours to make sure you got it dialed in right.
Right.
But again, you know, we've actually got a pretty massive in-depth course that like looks over my shoulder on how to find the keywords, how to get the content written, how to set up the Google ads, how to set up the Facebook ads, literally over my shoulder, step by step on how to do all of this stuff that, if you're interested, we've only made this available for our high ticket consulting clients, who've paid us what, $5,000 or more, mm-hmm. basically. Mm-hmm. But if you're interested in this, we do fill out our little application on the consulting form, have a chat with Joe, and we'll figure out a way to hook you up with it.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And that's at evergreenprofits.com.
/consulting. If you go to /consulting, yeah. you'll get to that application. So if you want to reach out, you don't have to necessarily become a consulting client to be able to get access to this training. I want to try to make it available to as many people as possible. So reach out through that form. Let's get in touch and chat, and we can help you get hooked up with that specific training.
I like it. I like the be everywhere approach to the right people.
Sweet.
Without blowing a complete budget here. So awesome. Thank you very much, Mr. Matt, for your wisdom.
Yes. Thank you for asking me questions as if you didn't already know the answers.
I did my best. Thank you to you listening. And definitely check us out. And and if you just want to have a chat with us, go to evergreenprofits.com/consulting or hit the contact us button. And either way, we will be in touch with you. You're always going to get a human. So we like chatting. And thank you so much for listening.
Peace out.
Adios. All right. Thank you. And I hope you just enjoyed this episode you just listened to. Now, right now, before we sign off, I have a few things I would love for you to do. So the very first thing is to go find our guest on Facebook and tell them that you loved their episode with us. That's going to help them just feel good about themselves, but also it's going to spread the word a little bit more for us. So go find them on Facebook. Everybody's on Facebook, and go say that you love their episode and maybe one cool thing that you learned there. The second thing is to go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast. Just look up Hustle and Flowchart and hit the subscribe button. And the very last thing, the third thing, is to leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast and help us spread the word more. That's how more people are going to get this awesome knowledge, this cool podcast training, and a whole bunch of other cool free training that we give out at evergreenprofits.com. So that's about it. Go find them on Facebook, go subscribe on iTunes, and leave us a review. You would be amazing if you did that, but you're always amazing. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you in the next episode.